We're going to speak about the times that we are living in from the book of Daniel. Good to have Pastor Dan Lightsey with us today. Good to see you, Pastor Dan. Wow. Very good. Glory, yeah. You enjoy the body of Christ so much. We love you. Amen. And our brother from Kyrgyzstan is here. He was a Pastor Steve. Where is he? Adil. I just saw him. Would you stand for a second? All right, this is it's Pastor Emil's son. Thank you. Pastor Emil is the Greater Grace pastor in Kyrgyzstan. Some of you, I mean, our geography improves as we are in the ministry. Yeah, it takes time, but it's a little country near China, high mountain ranges there. And back in the 90s, we went there and planted a church. And his father, Pastor Emil, is the pastor, and he sent his son. Well, he sent his son to come here and study this year, so we're happy for that. Pastor Bob and Chrissy Colbank came back from Finland. They saw their granddaughter over there. They had a good time. There's a lot of good news going on. We need good news, don't we? Man, is there any good news? Yeah, we need it. But we are ready also to face the reality of our times and to think about the times we are living in from a biblical viewpoint. And then what do we do about it? If we have troublesome times, we have COVID, we have now some variant of COVID, and we are realizing in Matthew 24 that one of the signs of the end times is the diseases and pestilences, wars, rumors of wars. The Taliban are taking over Afghanistan. We that are watching the news a little bit, I don't watch it a lot because I can't handle it. Then we see in our country an immoral direction, an ungodly direction by leaders, and we are very concerned in many ways. How should we live? So I'd like you to turn to Daniel 12 as one text, and then we will move on from there. Many of you are not that well taught regarding eschatology, but I want to draw a quick timeline here. There is the cross, could be the cross when Jesus died. We are in 32 AD, is the common date used for his death. When he died and rose from the dead, then he ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit into the world to prepare a bride for himself. We are the church that is also referred to as the branches on the vine, the stones in the temple. We are the sheep, and he is the shepherd. We also have the bride of Christ, engaged. Before the consummation of the marriage, there is the engagement. In our country, when you get engaged, usually you get a ring, and this is the engagement ring that says, the man says to the woman, you're the one I'm going to marry. I will marry you. This will happen. In Israel, at the time of Christ's birth. This was understood when Joseph took Mary to be his wife. He had not been married to her yet, but it was the same because he took her to be his wife, though the wedding wasn't consummated. So we have the seal of our belonging to God is the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1:13. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Lord knows them that are his, and we belong to him. But the wedding hasn't happened. The wedding hasn't happened yet with the church and the bridegroom. Remember, the friend of the bridegroom was John the Baptist, remember? John the Baptist was a friend of the bridegroom, but Jesus is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. The type of it is Isaac and Rebekah, and the servant went out from Abraham to find a bride for Abraham's son, Isaac. And the servant is a picture or a type of the Holy Spirit that has gone into the world to get a bride for Christ. We are the church. He is the head. We are the body. There are seven metaphors for this relationship. The body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. It's like an organic body. I have one here, my body and all the different parts. This is a picture of the church. Many churches through history, many different manifestations, many different functions, but one body and one head. The head is Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, we are members of his body in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we are living in this world, and this church history has progressed, so we are in the year 2021. We are waiting for his return. He has not come back yet. There are three words for the return: the parousa, epiphania, and apokaluptos, or apokalupta, the return, the coming. So we have three Greek words. We're not going into them, but one is the presence, the parousia, the presence of Christ. That's the return in the sky when Jesus comes in the air, when he comes to in the sky and he takes us, he snatches us, harpazo, this snatching. We have the word harpoon. When they harpooned a whale, they were the boat, and the guy that was not rowing was the guy with the harpoon, and he was relaxed in the boat, and the guys are working to go towards the whale as it surfaced. And the guy with the harpoon would stand there, and he would throw the dart into the whale. And then they connected, and they would go on what was called the Nantucket sleigh ride. The whale would dive, and the boat would not allow it to go so deep, and so on. So harpooning, snatching. That was the word for rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We would be raptured out of the world. We'd be snatched out. We are waiting for that. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We that are alive, we that are alive at the time of the rapture, we that are alive, and some of us think that could happen in our lifetime, we that are alive, we will be taken out. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Those that are dead in Christ, their bodies are in the ground, in the sea, and in the air. Their bodies have deteriorated. They're part of the biosphere. But God knows, because their members have been written in a book. Psalm 139. Our members have been secretly made. That's in the womb, the DNA. The scientists of today could explain to us how the meiosis and then the mitosis, the union of the sperm and the egg cell, the DNA is all there. It's all there, and it's written in God's book. And he will take those bodies that have deteriorated, that are in the biosphere, and by his great power, raise them up. Glorify their body, so their body will be likened unto Jesus Christ's body. Philippians 3:20 and verse 21. That will happen. They will go up first, and when we that are alive, we will go up with them and meet the Lord in the air. But not every eye will see him in the parousia. Not every eye will see him, but we will see him. What will the world be doing? The world will be celebrating. They'll be having an unholy holiday. They will be rejoicing. They will be deceived. They will be misled. They will be deluded. They will be with their religion and their politics and their money, with their power and their influence and deception. They are children of the night. They are children of darkness. But in that period of time, which is a 7-year period of time, there will be great darkness and wickedness, the evil of which has never been seen before. That's Daniel chapter 7, Daniel 12. We'll read it in a minute. There'll be an incredible delusion, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is the Bible. This is why you came to church, to learn the Bible. You don't care about what Pastor Shell, you don't want to hear what I have to say. You want to hear what the Bible has to say. Do you understand that? You came here to prove, turn, write it in a piece of paper, every Bible verse. Go home and read it and prove and see it and study it. And what we and the evangelicals and the Christians through history have taught. And understand something about what I'm saying. Because we believe that this incredible day here in 1948, when Israel became a nation, the United Nations voted. Why did they vote for Israel to be a country? Because they were shocked at what happened in the Holocaust. In 1942, 43, 44, 45, in Germany and Poland, they were sympathetic to the Jews. And the Jews were going back by large numbers. And they became a nation in 1948. Jesus said, when you see that, then you know that the time is short. It's the beginning of sorrows, earthquakes in many places, wars and rumors of wars, pestilences of all kinds. We have not only, we have the many, sexual diseases, what are they called, sexually transmitted, STDs. We have incredible viruses. We have incredible problems in our health in the world that we are living in. But we have hardly even begun to see where it's going to go. It's going to be very bad. If we're reading our Bible and understanding the times that we are living in. So how should we live? Let me go to Daniel 12, please, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. He is the archangel for Israel. He is the high ranking angel in heaven that kind of overlooks Israel. He is the angel for the people of the Jewish people. The Jewish people have been protected by God. Has anybody here met an Edomite lately? Have you met a Canaanite with a passport and it said Canaanite? Where did those people go? They're not nations anymore. They're melted in. But the Jew, why is the Jew a Jew? Why? God. God has kept them. They are my people. How come they were gone for 2,000 years? You see this? 70 AD, they were driven out of their country. They were gone for almost 2,000 years. Do you know that their language died? except in the synagogues in Russia and other places where they kept the Hebrew language. Hebrew language is the only language that has died and come back. It's spoken in Israel. Hebrew. How about the country? It was over, gone. They were not there. I believe in 1900 there was 25,000 Jews in Palestine. Very few Jews living there. The Zionist movement. Why is that? What happened? God. It's about God. This world is about God. And yet so few people think about God, talk about God. And so few people go to church anymore. And so few people know anything about the Bible. They don't know where Matthew is or Mark or Luke or John. They don't know Genesis or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Nahum or Obadiah. They do not know Amos or Joel. If you said some of those names, they'd think that you're from another planet. They're written there in the Bible. What did they say? What did Joel say? What did Amos say? Yeah? Okay, so let's go to the verse. Verse 1. He will stand up, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. It's the resurrection, isn't it? Written in the Old Testament. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, David said in Psalm 23. Those that are lost, they will face God at the white throne judgment. Those that are born again, they will be raptured. Those that go through the tribulation period, they shall also be raised up. And they will be in the presence of the throne, Revelation chapter 7. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. They that be wise, that's like you and I hope. We fear God. This is the beginning of wisdom. We are learning the scripture. This is the book of wisdom. We are humble before God, so we have wisdom from below, from above, and not the wisdom from below. There is a wisdom below that people live by. The world lives by wisdom that is below. But there is a wisdom above, a wisdom from God. And then there is a cleverness or an intelligence that is from man and also the satanic world. It is earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom in James 3. The two wisdoms are described in James 3. Wisdom from above, it's peaceable, gentle, without partiality, without hypocrisy. There is the wisdom above, then the wisdom below. So we are watching in our present world, the governments of the world. We are watching the globalism happening. We are watching the ideology of the global mentality, the spirit of the world. We are watching the economics of the world as it evolves and changes and moves towards a time in history that will be so bad it has never happened before like this. So that's the context for what I want to say today. Then look at 3 again. They that be wise, though there are a group of people that are wise, and they shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. This is in heaven when there is the glorified body, the reward given to the saints, some will be on thrones. I love that thought. Jesus said, you are those, you'll be sitting on thrones. This throne is a platform of authority and honor that will happen to some people. 1 Corinthians 3, we read about the Bema Seat judgment and how important that is, that we will one day have our hearts searched inside from in our heart how we lived. And one of the criteria for that judgment is faithfulness, that we weren't much on the earth, but we were faithful, we were humble, the Holy Spirit was teaching us. I never did anything really great in the eyes of people, but I did in the eyes of God. I gave a little bit. Remember the widow with the two pennies who gave, and Jesus said, she has given more than all of these, you know, because she gave her heart. She gave out of her last. She gave, and God, Jesus, saw her heart. And I think that he's always seeing your heart. He knows our hearts, and he will judge us. It says in John 5, the Father gave all the judgment to the Son, and the Son will judge us at the last day. John 12:47, how will he judge us? But by his word. It's like the Holy Spirit will take this and put it in the context of my life. And there'll be a searching, and there'll be the reality of who you are will be evident in heaven on that day at the Bema Seat. And that's a beautiful thing. Sometimes people, I think there's a misunderstanding, because the Bema Seat is a Greek word for the seat of judgment in the Greek and Roman times for judging athletes. But it's also a judgment, like Agrippa had his judgment seat. It's also judging as in legal matters. So sometimes people just think of the Bema Seat as a place to get trophies, like in an athletic contest. But it's not that only. I mean, the trophy is part of how the word is used. And that's part of our life. But this is not like a trophy in that way. It's more of God bringing to light who you are, what you have believed, what your attitude has been, how you have trusted in him. This will be rewarded. This will be a blessing. And for some, it'll be a shame, like a Christian who hasn't had the investment. I haven't had the investment, and I'm sorry to hear. I realize there are Christians, and I have met some, and we're going to speak about it this morning in a few minutes, but I have met some that are kind of sleeping. They're not engaged. They're not awake. They're not alert. They're not interested. There isn't any spiritual life moving inside in their hearts. They don't have any hunger. They don't have any desire. So how can I get that? I want that. I want that in my life. And the Lord is holding us. He's asking us to follow him and trust him. So this difficult time, go to the text again, please, chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And what that means is that Daniel wrote the prophecy, and he's told, write it down and just close it. People can read it, of course, but they're not going to understand it until the end. And that's where we are today. This is Daniel, is way back here, 500 BC. This is when Daniel is living, and he writes it. But now we are here, and we can say we are now reading it, and we are understanding what Daniel is saying in the book of Daniel about the fourth beast, the coming globalism, the persecution of the saints, the power of the Antichrist. People used to believe Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. He was a Antichrist. And there have been many Antichrists, but there's one coming that's going to be Hitler on steroids. He's going to be incredibly smooth, incredibly powerful, and deceive the whole world. Revelation 12:9, with the false prophet doing miracles, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Revelation 13, that'll be an incredible deception that'll be happening in the world. Have you seen it begin? Have you been around with people that are talking about things that to you they sound ridiculous, but to them they believe them? Have you been around people that believe in a world that is coming that is better? That there'll be incredible benefits. There'll be amazing unity and love. We are the world, holding hands and singing kumbaya and loving each other. But it's only the facade is human, but behind it is a beast in the book of Daniel, a fierce beast, the times of which will be so bad that it's the worst time in human history. Where do we read it? Revelation chapter 6 through to chapter 19. 19 is the second coming of Christ. Not the parousia, the rapture, but the epiphania, where every eye will see him, even those that pierced him in Revelation chapter 1. There'll be supernatural manifestation of the coming of Christ and his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. That day is coming. We are those that are awake and realize where we are at in our history. We are those that are studying it. We are those that go to church. We are those that are learning to live in faith. We are those that are the children of the light, not the children of the night or the darkness. Okay. So turn now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. How should we live? Verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. So there is a understanding in this epistle that Paul had visited them, had taught them in person, had rap sessions with them. They understood different things that he had said. They also misquoted him. He wrote the epistle to kind of clarify some things. Some things were clear in his mind that he had said to them. Other things he kind of wrote to kind of sharpen the edge or clarify some things that were twisted or he was misrepresented in what he was saying. So regarding the times and the seasons, he's saying that I don't need to write to you, but he does write to them and he says a few things. Look at verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord has come, so comes as a thief in the night. What is a thief in the night? But he unexpectedly comes. You know, I think it represents something unexpectedly happened, like a car accident. I always traveled this way to work. I always went this way to work. Every day was every day. And then suddenly, it changed. It all changed. The pandemic, COVID, changed things. Suddenly, there was a pandemic. What? You know, suddenly. The Christian is called with a unique blessing, so that in a way we're never surprised, because we are confronting these things in our fellowship. We talk about death. I have a relative who doesn't like to hear about death at all. Like, don't tell me anything about death. Anybody that died, you know, no, don't tell me about anything. No, nothing sad. I don't want to hear anything sad. That's like the ostrich who puts his head in the sand. That's like the person that chooses ignorance. It says that in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said it this way. He said, let them who are ignorant be ignorant. Let's find that verse just because it is pretty profound. We're 14, 38. Maybe a brother can put it up on there. 1 Corinthians 14, 38. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 14, 38. What does it mean? It's like, in our context for our message, I would like you to be awake and alert and informed and learning, always learning, always growing, always increasing. If you go to your Bible concordance and look up the word increase, you see increase in faith, increase in joy, increase in thanksgiving. There's about seven different increases, increase in knowledge, increase in understanding. That's what the believer is called to have, an increase in their life. But there are some that say, no, you know, like, I'm fine, I'm good. How many times have we heard that? I'm good. I'm good. There is that person that would say it, and Paul would maybe say that this to them. If you are ignorant, let him be ignorant. That's your life. That's your decision. You want to hide? Go hide. God's going to find you out. Reality's going to knock on your door one day. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Do you want to be ready? Are you listening? Has this scripture been written so that there would be an increase in understanding? Did Jesus say that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes? And I want to add the word fresh out of the mouths of God. What did God say? What did he say today? What did he say today? Not what he said 10 years ago. What did he say today? Does he have a word for me today? Okay. Go back to Thessalonians with me, please. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety. Maybe that would be a good way to talk to somebody on the street. When they say, peace and safety, what happens? Then sudden destruction comes upon them. I think maybe some people maybe are too nervous about life. They're too worried and afraid. They live in the anxiety. They're watching the news they're filled with the anxiety. One of our pastors is fasting from the news. He hasn't watched it, I think, since last November. He goes, you know, I'm a happier, I'm a blessed man. I'm not hiding my head in the sand, but I know the same. It's like, was it Ralph Waldo Emerson up in Massachusetts, 1840, at the Walden Pond? Remember, somebody said, do you want a newspaper delivered to your cabin? And he answered, I already read a newspaper. I don't need one. I already read a newspaper. What is the meaning? Is it about murder? I read that. A politician stealing? I already know that. An earthquake? I know about that. The collapse of a country? A war? A pandemic? I already know about that. I understand what that is. I don't need to feed on it. I need to do what we're going to read about in a minute here. I need a church. I need a fellowship. I need edification. I need comfort. I need words of life, holding forth the words of life. I need the joy of the Lord. I need to be prepared for what God is going to do in the future. Because we read about a terrible time coming. And by the way, I believe that the rapture is going to happen and we're going to be taken out of this trouble. When that happens, the seven-year period happens, called the tribulation period. And the great tribulation period is the second part of the 7 years. And then there'll be 1,000 years of peace on the earth with Jesus Christ as the king. At the end of the 1,000, there is a change to the eternal age, a new heaven and new earth. And it says, and heaven and earth fled away in Revelation chapter 20. And there was no more heaven and no more earth. Imagine. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. This will never pass away, he said in Matthew 25. Or is it 24:35? He said that. So we are people that are wise, and we will take the kingdom. We are those that are learning, and we take the kingdom. We are the ones that take the kingdom. We reign with him. That's our anticipation. It's called in Titus 2:13, the blessed hope. The blessed hope, the return of Christ. When he was going to be crucified before Pilate and before he said, no, I'm sorry, it was before the Sanhedrin, before they took him to Pilate, they said, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? He said, without apology, you shall see the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven and an innumerable host of angels. You shall see, Revelation chapter 1, every eye will see him, even those that pierced him. He will come back. Wow. How do we know? Because he came the first time. The prophets were right. If he came the first time, he will come a second time. What is going to be the condition of the second coming? Before he comes, there will be the time of great trouble. A fierce beast, like never has happened before. Daniel chapter 7. Incredible time of trouble. Before that comes, the church is here, and we have a falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's a great apostasy. People are leaving God. They're falling away from God. A great falling away is happening in the United States of America. When this country used to be filled with churches, and church was a major part of our life. We had Sunday schools. We had Sunday schools for teenagers. We had Sunday schools for adults. We had Sunday morning service. We had Sunday night service. People ate together and talked together and prayed together. We had Wednesday night midweek service. We had Bible study. We had Saturday outreaches. We had world missions, a church in the United States of America. And many of these mainline denominations were churches where there was a lot of vitality, a lot of prayer, a lot of influence, and a lot of authority from God. They were the health of the nation, the salt of the earth. What happened? Well, much could be said about it. But churches stopped saying meaningful things. They stopped teaching this. Why are you here? I want to learn this book. Why did you come? I don't know. Maybe God will speak to my heart. Maybe he'll clean me up. Maybe he'll change my life. Maybe God will do something. I'm looking for God. I'm looking for God. That's an amazing thing to say. I want God in my life. I want God in the morning. I want God at night. I want God in my decision making. I want God on a Friday night. I want God on a Saturday morning. I want God on a Tuesday morning. I want to find God. Where are the people of God? They are here. That's the time we are living in. Because there is a sudden thing that is happening in the future. Suddenly. the Taliban take Afghanistan. Suddenly, there's a pandemic. Suddenly, there's an economical collapse, and the country goes into a phase of poverty and hardship. Suddenly, there's some kind of strange thing that happens in the government. You know, suddenly, my neighborhood is turned into something. I'm shocked what happened in my... Suddenly, teenagers are dying from overdoses. And parents, too. In a parking lot in McDonald's, two adults dead in the front seat, a baby crying in the back seat. The parents overdosed. The baby survives. The police come and take the baby. Where'd mom and dad go? They're gone. Suddenly, how'd that happen? Well, we're saying today what the apostle is saying to the Thessalonians. He's saying these things. Read it with me. It's verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But you, brethren, you've been to Greater Grace World Outreach. No, that's not enough. You, brethren, you got to be humble before God. No, wait a minute. My humility needs my ears to be open. I need the Lord to open my ears. Open my ears, Lord. Let these sayings sink deep into my ears. Wait a minute. I need it not just once in a while. I need a diet. I need new friends. I need to make good decisions. I need to turn away from evil. I need to stop it. And stop fooling around and get serious with God. And God will help me. And he'll guide me. And he'll fill me and satisfy me. And I need it in my family. I need to talk to my kids about it. And buy them ice cream. And talk to them over a coffee. And talk to them about life. And get them on the road. Come on, let's go by faith in God. God is good. God is good. He gives you a better life than a life without God. Without God, it's trouble. With God, your head isn't in the sand, but you're awake, and you're children of the day. Let me write this down here. It goes like this. Day, the children of the day, they have light. And what else it says? They are sober. But children of the night, what do they have? They have darkness. And they are drunk. Darkness and what else? They are drunk in the night. I used to do that. Be drunk in the night. Wake up in a fog. How sharp was I? Dull. Dull, a knife blade. Dull. How about it? We care. Not making fun of people. Not making fun of people. God is so much loves people. Even those that don't know their right hand from their left. That's in the book of Jonah, chapter 4. He said it to Jonah. How can I, you know, how can, these are 120,000 people that don't know their right hand from their left. No, that can't be. No, it can't be. We have to help them, teach them. All week long at Camp Life, 350 little campers up there in the Poconos Mountains every day with godly people and learning, having fun and playing and then learning and growing up. And so we tell them, don't live like that. Live like this way. God will take care of you. Let's read the next verse. It says, verse 5, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Not of the night nor of darkness. You know, the police will tell you, the local police will tell you, when it gets dark out, the criminals come out. They come out like swarming over the host. you know, swarming to steal or to get drunk or to do what they do. But when the light comes up, then they're not there. They're sleeping. They sleep in the day and they do their criminal activity at night. They're the children of darkness, the children of night. But you are not a child of darkness. You're a child of the day. Look at the verse there, please. It says, oh yeah, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep, not sleep. As do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's another one. Watch. Watch. For they that sleep in the night, verse 7, they that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another as also you do. We had about 40 people go to South Dakota this summer to a Indian reservation, a Sioux Indian reservation. They got in their cars, drove 3 days, were there for the week and came back. And every one of them, I just heard this encouragement and edification and joy. We had about 35 people go to Arkansas and the same thing. They came back with a lot of joy and faith, edification and encouragement. We had about 50 people go to West Virginia and same thing. We come back. Let's go back again, West Virginia, and share the message of Christ. We sow the seed. Jesus said, sow the seed. And we get sharp. We had a group in Manchester, New Hampshire yesterday, Frederick, Maryland yesterday in the evening with the concert. Our little activities, our work that we do with a lot of joy. We get in the car, we're talking, we're loving each other, we're going by faith. This is happening and it's not difficult. It's just kind of the outflow of being awake. We're awake. Our country needs it. What will happen to our country? I do not know. And we would like a revival. Will there be a revival? I do not know. But I would like to see people coming back to church. I'd like to see people having new relationships with people. I'd like to see people get into the Bible and enjoy it. I'd like to see people like meeting even on the phone with prayer. I'd like to see us learn to love our neighbors and care about people that are different from us. You see, if we're filled with the Spirit and we're loving people, that people are different from us, but it can't stop the love that we have that comes out of our hearts. Have you met any new people? Do you care about anybody in your neighborhood? Have you thought about people that have problems and all kinds of things that are happening in our society? Yes, we are caring. Lastly, let me finish this. Historians will tell you, if you can take a population and isolate them, isolate people, isolate them, and they're not talking with each other and they're not interacting with each other, then it's perfect ground for a tyrant to come in and take over because they're all so disconnected. They're disconnected. It's perfect for an evil leader to come into the picture. And I would say that that the old way of having a church meeting where you're not disconnected, but you're connected. The Holy Spirit fills us. We have new friends. We share our hearts and our griefs too, and our heartaches. And we love each other and support each other. And we are a mighty people. But the direction of the country is no churches, podcasts. No church is electronic media streamlining. It's not the same. We are to be connected face to face, heart to heart, handshake to handshake, event to event. Good times to good times, bad times too are good for us. Did I learn to forgive, to love anyway, to be patient, to be kind? this is what's needed. So I think that's all. The list there in this chapter is of great value. To know those that labor among you, verse 12. To esteem them highly, verse 13. Be at peace, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. If you get offended, learn to take it. If you get hurt, come on. Just show up, forgive, love. Learn to get hurt. If you get offended, if somebody, these little phrases, I feel uncomfortable. It's like, whatever. You feel uncomfortable? What are you talking about? You feel uncomfortable? I need a safe place. I need a safe place. Well, good luck finding it. You need a safe place? I think you need to know God, and God prepares a table in the presence of your enemies. I think what you need is to grow up. I need the emotional stability. I need the safe place and all that. It's like, well, this isn't reality. Reality is that we are in trouble, sisters and brothers. We are in trouble. We live in the midst of it. We have a mortal body that's falling apart. Just take a look at your mortal body in the mirror. Take a look, in the drain of the shower. How many hairs are there that were not there yesterday? Okay, I'm sorry if I'm offending. I'm not offended. I'm not sorry about it. I'm just having a good time. Listen, hey, the world is in trouble. Hello, the world is in trouble. Jesus Christ is the only answer. Listen, people are dying. Christ is the only answer for death. Look at people have bad habits. Christ is the only answer for bad habits. I said it in the 9 o'clock service. A man, brother, called me. He said, I'm clinically depressed. And he said, you are my pastor. I'm seeing a psychiatrist, maybe. I called him. He said what drug he would put me on. I don't think I should do that. He said, I know that drug is very addictive. I said, why would you go to the psychiatrist and take that drug? He said, I don't know. Why should I do it? I go, why don't you suffer? That's another option. You're depressed. Why not go to God with your depression? What's wrong with being depressed? I live half my life depressed. Like, so what? I got a clear mind because I'm not on a drug. I make good decisions because God gave me free will. I've got decisions to make because He is the God that speaks and says, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. God will do that. God can take your depression away. Do you need a drug? You take the drug, you may be gone. You never get off it. That's the way it is. It may be. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not speaking as a doctor. I understand those things in a little way, but I'm saying you hear so much of it, I want to tell you the other side of it. My wife said, you need a Tylenol. I go, no, I'll take the pain. It's fine. Tylenol. I said, it's only the beginning. Tylenol is the beginning. No, I'm joking. I could take a Tylenol, but I don't care. I can suffer a little bit. What's wrong with that? You're depressed, you're sad. So what? I'm not in a safe place. So what? What's the big deal? I'm not in a safe place. I have a living God who says He will take care of me. I have a shepherd who was raised from the dead. I have promises that are yea and amen. Come on, people. Let's wake up. We are living in a real world that is saying, God is saying, you are not the children of darkness, you are the children of light. And you're not drunk like them. You are sober. You are wise. You are a saint of God, being prepared for a battle that we are losing in a way in the world where they are taking over populations. And arrogant, evil people, powerful people are taking over. But I know that that is the way it is, and the Antichrist will come one day. And I don't know who he is. And sometimes I think he's my neighbor. No joke. No joke. Yeah, I don't know who he is, but listen, he is coming, but we are not the children of darkness. And so when suddenly the thing happens, we say, I realize this could happen, but I've been awake. I've been being prepared. By the way, when the COVID happened, we did not shut down because we want to be awake. We want to assemble. We want to be prepared. We have a lot of sympathy for people that have been sick. It's a real disease, a real powerful thing. We're not making fun of it. At the same time, I cannot stop living my life by living in fear. I need to make my decisions. And by the way, we did it by going online. Then we had enough of that, so we went on the rooftop out here, out to the right, the rooftop, you can see it. And then eventually we made our way back into this building, and this is how we want to live. And I want to say, I believe because of making faith decisions, God has been good to us, taking care of us, and helped us and building us up and preparing us for what we are really called to do, which is to bring the gospel into the world. Amen. To the pastors that want to come on down front, the pastors, maybe if you would like to have a prayer with these men at the end of the service, which is now, feel free to come forward so the pastors could come on down. While they're coming, just have a closing prayer. Anyone listening to my voice, come to Jesus today. He is a living God and he cares for you. He uses the foolishness of preaching to make his ways known to people. This is foolish, but it is wise. It is weak, but it is strong. It can change a life. It can save a soul. You must have your soul saved. You are lost without him. You must be born of the Spirit by faith in him. Do not worry or fear. Come to him as you are and say to Christ, I need you. He will answer you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think there's no song, right? Okay. Would you stand with me? I'm going to dismiss you here. Tonight we'll have a great service here. Everyone is welcome. I had a theme. I wanted to speak about the devil's strategy tonight. Also Wednesday night, there maybe not everybody knows this, but this room is filled with more people on Wednesday night than it is right now, this morning, right here at 11. The highest attended service is Wednesday night. Isn't that amazing? By God's grace, isn't that awesome? So come out if you can. If you come on out and be with us. Lord, bless us as we go. We've been in your house. We are very, very concerned about Israel. We pray for Israel, about the Antichrist coming. We're very concerned about our country, very concerned about our neighborhood and our relatives and our friends. We're very concerned. We are meeting that concern by showing up, by assembling often as we see the days approaching, by getting into our Bible and our Bible getting into us, and learning how to live the right way. Draw near, God says, draw near, come near. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, in James 4 and Hebrews chapter 3. That's what you said, Lord. Dismiss us, bless our car rides, our fellowship together, searching our hearts. You know our hearts, Lord. Bible college starting in 2 weeks, and all that's happening. May we not be overburdened or distraught. We're afraid, but be comforted and loved always by your love. In Jesus' name, amen.